Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Gray Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
thank you to our Native brothers and sisters. Welcome to Grandma Cove. We got some serious things to deal with today. First, I want to deal with Mr. Hannity and the police force. I'm going to go into a video. Let's do Hannity right now.
This is a crazy story from California where a dad, he drove his whole family off a cliff in a Tesla. So fortunately, they all survived. But when the paramedics arrived, the wife said that he did it on purpose. Now, I've been married for 38 years. And I can tell you I love my wife and children very much. And I would never drive them off a cliff. But I've thought about it. Anybody who's been in the car with screaming-ass kids and a cliff available? Either you thought about it or you're lying. Look at him. I thought about it, yeah. But I was patient. Kids will drive you crazy. You asked me about that bathroom one more damn time. We're going off the cliff, I swear. Even the judge would be like, will the defendant, please stand up. All right, what I don't understand is how a Tesla can survive going off a cliff. But it can't make it down the street without blowing the f*** up. I don't understand that. But now we're going to move on to the dumpster fire that is Fox News. Now, you have got to hear the latest thing they're talking about when it comes to police shooting black people.
Many on the left know just who to blame and what to blame. White supremacy. Here's something that Whoopi, the ladies of The View, apparently don't know. White people do get beaten by the police. In fact, far more white people are killed every year by cops than any other race. According to an online organization that tracks this data, 374 white Americans died during police altercations in 2022. If you average that out, a little more than one per day. I don't know if the ladies of The View know any of the names of the people, the 374 people. So based on both academic studies and actual data, there is no systemic racism in policing. It doesn't exist. Now, of course, there are good cops, and I would say that's the vast overwhelming majority, and there is a small majority of bad cops.
He said it, small majority of bad cops. That is...
Hey, what? See, this is what the right does. The right does. The right uses numbers to justify this BS. I'm sorry. There are four times as many white people in black people in the United States. But 13% of African Americans in America. Yet, almost 30% of being shot. What's wrong with y'all? And they use numbers to justify it. Yes, there are more white people shot than black. But percentage-wise, you got to be kidding. And there's another reason. There are more disabled people shot than any other group per capita. Look it up. We had another one this past week. In Huntington Beach, California. This week. Take it out.
It murder, the fatal police shooting of a double amputee who witnesses say tried to get away from officers in Huntington Park. Police say 36-year-old Anthony Lowe had just stabbed the man and then tried to throw a 12-inch butcher knife at officers.
His family says Lowe was experiencing a mental health crisis and didn't deserve to die. Tonight, they are demanding justice and accountability. Mary Beth McDade, live in Hollywood, with more on the shooting and the investigation. Mary Beth. Well, Mike and Jared, family members, say that he couldn't have been a threat, that he was an amputee in a wheelchair. However, officers say that they tried to detain him and do that by using their taser twice on him. However, they say it had no effect, and he still tried to throw his butcher knife at them, and that's when they opened fire. This hurts! This hurts! And we have these wonderful people here to help support us, all right! Grieving family members of 36-year-old Anthony Lowe stood in front of Huntington Park Police Department calling for justice.
I just want the truth, nothing but the truth, and justice for my son. My son was murdered.
L.A. County Sheriff investigators say Huntington Park Police responded to a stabbing call last Thursday afternoon. When they arrived, they saw Lowe, the stabbing suspect, who was also a double amputee, armed with a large butcher knife in his hand. They say he was out of his wheelchair and walking on his remaining limbs in the 1900 block of Slauson. Authorities say officers tried to detain Lowe, but he threatened them with a knife. Officers attempted to use their taser on him twice, but they say it was ineffective. Officers claim Lowe once again attempted to throw the butcher knife at them, resulting in an officer-involved shooting. Lowe was pronounced dead at the scene. This is a man, father, a son, a brother, who was gunned down by the police. So that's what matters to us right now. Lowe's sister reportedly says that her brother's legs had been amputated last year after an altercation with law enforcement in Texas. Family members say Lowe was having a tough time emotionally dealing with the loss of his limbs.
Just don't really understand how the police are here to protect and serve and to help our community, and yet, you know, they're hurting individuals in wheelchairs.
Lowe's family and community activists believe police shot him in the back, and they think security video from a business at the scene can prove it. But they say sheriff's investigators have the video and won't share it with them.
We want specific justice. We want the district attorney, George Gascon, to criminally prosecute the executioners.
And police say that the man that Lowe allegedly stabbed suffered life-threatening injuries, remains in critical condition with a collapsed lung and internal bleeding. Now, the officers involved in this officer-involved shooting, they are on paid administrative leave, which is common protocol while things are being investigated. And we should also mention that it's for any body cam video, while Huntington Park Police do not wear body cameras.
We want to do history. That's what our standards for black history are. It's just cut and dry history.
Welcome to Black History, but as our governor of Florida tried to undermine Black history.
Black male double amputee shot in the back by the police. This is disturbing to watch.
And they showed a video of the incident. We are in crisis in the United States. We're coming to a boiling point. 2023. What are you doing? Times are gonna change. Where are the black leaders? Where are the black caucus?
All right. Let's put up his picture full mask. I will explain to you the background as to what happened. His name is Anthony Lowe Jr., okay? He was 36 years of age, fatally shot by the police, as you just saw. Double amputee. He was shot to death on January 26th by the Huntington Police Department. These officers claim they were in fear for their lives because he was brandishing a knife, according to them. Lowe's older sister, Mr. Lowe's older sister, Latoya Toy, told the LA Times, His legs had been amputated after a previous altercation with law enforcement in Texas. So he has an altercation with law enforcement in Texas. He gets his legs amputated. Per video footage recorded by a bystander, or actually by multiple bystanders, Huntington Park officers are seen slowly chasing him while he fled on the stumps of his legs. They were, according to them, in fear of their lives. The rate at which Lowe was fleeing did not appear fast enough to elude officers, but they still opted for lethal force. While the footage does show Lowe motion as if he is about to throw the knife and the officers flinch, it never appeared as though their lives were in imminent danger. Mr. Lowe Jr. shown lying on the sidewalk after being shot. Police said in a press release, Lowe was shot in the upper torso and was pronounced dead at the scene. Per News 1, Huntington Park police are not equipped with body-worn cameras, so bystander video is crucial in the investigation. So what led to this? How do you get to this point of a man who's in a wheelchair, has no legs, jumps out of the wheelchair, and the police claim we were in fear of our lives. There's nothing else we could have done. There's no other way this could have happened. Now, you know good and damn well that's a lie. Everybody knows that's a lie. Everyone who watched this video, you know the man did not have to die. And so many times there's a conflation of this. If a person did something where they should see a judge, that doesn't mean they should see their maker. We don't know.
And like I said, you need to know facts. Talk to Leroy Moore Jr. at UCLA University about disabled black men being shot to death everywhere in this country. And you think this is a joke. It's no joke. I have to be careful when I go out because of the way police react to disabled guys with cerebral palsy. I told you this before. They think that we're drunk because of the way we speak. They think that we've been drinking because of the way we walk and talk. My fellow Americans, we have to do better than this. We have to do better than this.
To the DLC with Gary Norris Gray, you can call in at 646-727-3649. Thank you, Black Athlete Sports Network, for sponsoring the Gray Leopard Code. And it is now, it is 10th year. Send news to Gary and Gray at blackathlete.com or Norris19 at att.net. Giovanni's Produce Store, El Cerrito, California, 510-235-1233 is one of the sponsors. Our new sponsor is Reality Sports Group in Reston, Virginia. Other sponsors are the New England Informer magazine, the Doreen Wade, CEO, Boston, Massachusetts, Michael Lewis Ingram from BASN, and Soul Tree Radio in the Raw, Saturday afternoons and Wednesday nights on blogtalkradio.com. You
can call 718-508-9216. That's 718-508-9216. Get your Canadian Philadelphia New York room on with the Soul Patrol. Soul Tree Radio in the raw. May my second radio home, WCLM 1450, with Sports Talk by Cowboy Reggie and the Sports Talk crew. The little old mystery man on Saturday afternoon. He will make you smile, he'll make you laugh with music of the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. Listen to WCLM 1450 and WCLMRadioOnline.com. The heart and soul of Richmond, Virginia. Pat Freeman, the mighty Oba from WUFO, 1080 Buffalo, New York, young star Travis Singleton and his Kicks for Grades in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. If your kids are getting A's in school, then contact Travis on Facebook.com. Listen to Brother Anthony Johnson on The Anthony Johnson Show on Saturday at 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern Time. Miracle food for the soul. Remembering Roland Rogers, CEO of BASN in New York City and the family of BASN writers and broadcasters. Cannot forget the 707 and 609 for their support. Want to be a sponsor? Check in the Cove Caravan email. You can email Gary and Gray at MacAthlete.com or Nars19@att.net. Join the Cove Caravan, the Soul Patrol, Pad Nation, WCLM on Facebook.com. Please visit our website, www.blackathlete.com, and get a different look at the sports world. You'll be surprised at what you find. Call the Great Never Cove at 646-727-3649. That's 646-727-3649. Have a blessed day.
Going back to the Huntington Beach shooting, with the media downplayed, which I need to go do that. In this country, more than people are shot than any other country. Explain that to me. Also, our Native American sisters are being kidnapped, unrated, unprecedented rate. We must help our Native brothers and sisters in this crime, kidnapping. You saw in New Jersey the other day, in New Jersey, a Korean woman posing as an 18-year-old or 17-year-old in high school in New Brunswick, New Jersey, radar kids. What are we doing? Where is this going? Okay, we had enough of that. We've got to do better than this. Let's take a break.
what's it all about? Alfie, is it just for the moment we live? What's it all about when you said it out, Alfie? Are we meant to take more?
This morning, we They can't play the get out of Thursday. Media is boo. Can't buy them.
Yep.
Can't buy them. Where they at? I'm just asking. What do you think, Michael?
I see.
Yeah, I got you.
I'm about to call you back, Gary. I'm up in the mountains on the road. Let me call you back.
Okay.
It's bizarre enough. It's bizarre enough that we have to deal with enough of this shit on the ground, able people.
Yep.
I mean, he must have got hard on thinking this is a disabled target, and how is he going to justify saying, I feared for my life from a man with no legs.
Michael, how can you fear for your life with a guy running away from you in a wheelchair? And like, come on, you gotta be kidding
me. Exactly. I'm just saying. It's going to take some real creativity for the excuse to come out.
I'm going to relate a story that happened to me about 10 years ago.
Okay.
10 years ago, I just moved to El Cerrito. And I was returning a shopping cart to the local store.
Right.
I'm in the middle of the street with the shopping cart moving towards the store. Away from the door, towards the door.
Right.
A young rookie officer drives up and says, where are you going? I'm going to the store, sir. What are you doing with a shopping cart? I'm returning the shopping cart to the door. Okay? I'm in the middle of the street. He's blocking my path to get to the door. And he ain't moving.
Is he in a squad car?
Yes, he is. So I said, okay, this is how it's going to be. So I say, I'm going to return the car to the store, which is right there a block away, and you can see how his back window, the store is there. He finally moves the car and goes on. But, Michael, I'm telling you, that incident could go anywhere, any minute. It could go sideways,
Of course. You know, it's the nature of these assholes that they do what they do, figuring that they're going to find something or their inadvertent fishing for things will allow them to justify their dastardly behavior.
Yes.
And you know, during the season, we do fundraisers. And I drive out, and I'm coming home at night. Sometimes I drive to the bank machine to deposit my checks for the night's work.
Yep.
And I can't tell you how many times I've been stopped by cops. You know,
yep.
Where are you going? Everything like you. That
you
really
do.
Yep. You know, and it's like, it's annoying because you know it's coming. And one fool literally was ready to, like, draw a gun on me because he didn't like the answer that I said. I mean,
I can remember as a kid. I'll never forget it as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to Alabama, and it was right after Martin Luther King and John Kennedy got shot. I never forget this.
Mm-hmm.
Right through Alabama, it was like midnight. You know what? You're not going to bother us. That trooper pulled us over. And we had New Jersey Day. We had New Jersey Day Day. That was 1968. He pulled the car over and told us to get out of the car. Now, I can't get out of the car. Officer got smart and says, "What's wrong with you, boy? You can't get out of the car?" "No, sir. I'm a disabled person, sir." "No, you're not. Get out of the car." Michael, that is it. Scared me to death. My dad, if that wheelchair was not on top of the trunk, yeah. I would be talking to you today.
I know what you're saying. I know.
And not me talking to you today, because that officer had the intent. He had the intent to do what he was going to do that night. And because that wheelchair was on top of the trunk, you know, okay.
Cop control nonsense. We know, we've seen this, and we had it. Well, any idea or any excuse is a good excuse for a cop to do some fucked up shit. Very rarely are we going to see these guys say, you know, I'm just acting in your interest. I want to make sure you're safe, because they're looking to start shit. You know, that's what the guy was looking to do.
Also, we are at fault too. We're doing it too, right? When you become the head of the police department, and when you're a black man or woman, and you become the head of the police department, your responsibility is to make it better. Not make it worse, make it better. And the police who executed a young man last week, a black woman, is a police chief.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't pay attention to that until I read an article that did the same thing in Atlanta. It was the police team in Atlanta, the Navy happened in Atlanta.
Right.
They created a unit, a special unit, to deal with crime. Now, fool me once, okay. Fool me twice, no, you gotta get out of here. Now, that woman who need to be fired. I'm sorry. Because he knew what was going to happen if he created this group anyway. What are you doing? What are you doing? You are a police chief. You control all these guys. And you create a unit like this.
Right.
What's wrong with you?
But that's theoretically. You know, there's always some asshole who's going to counteract anything that's good that's been implied. I can't see anything that she's done in these incidents that would allow me to say she's trying to do this right. She got a bunch of assholes in there and they do what they did. Punks beat and killed this man. They wouldn't have done it to a white guy. It shows you how bad and big and bad they are. And, of course, after they killed the guy is Mr. So-and-so. He's no longer the black guy who is the threat, who is supposedly reckless driving. He's just some skinny kid who's trying to get home. And sadly,
this is
a lot more of that.
this is a rough way to start Black History Month. This is a very rough start to Black History Month. I'm telling you, it's rough.
Yeah.
It's a rough start.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be better. We have to do better. So what I mean is this, and this goes with sports too. If you see something wrong, you need to speak up. And what I mean is the National Football League, African American players are gonna have to speak up. Now, I know money, you gotta get paid. I get that. But when a coach like Jeff Saturday gets to be a coach of a Major League Football team without any experience whatsoever at coaching, and he gets paid to do it, do you think a black guy gonna do that?
Come on, guy. You realize they don't care. The money that's being made right now has allowed for all the owners to have power that you would not imagine in choosing who can do what. Robert Irsay is an asshole. We already know. He's got a background where he's caused problems for the owners per se, but not enough to get rid of him. And now someone's saying, Robert, the Colts suck. What are you going to do? So he says, yeah, I'll hire a new guy. But he hires from within. And when we say hire from within, we mean somebody who's connected with the organization. Very rarely that's someone black. Hiring from within usually means let me get a white guy who will follow policy. And that's Saturday. So why are you surprised at the fact that he's getting hired? They can hire whoever the hell they want. Forget about what they say of, you know, whatever that program is that allows coaches to get an interview. An interview and a job are two different things. Yeah.
The Rooney Rule is a paper tiger. A paper tiger. That doesn't mean anything. It might as well tear up and throw it in the trash can. We got 323 area code. You wanna come in and speak 323 area code? Let me get to you on. One minute.
Okay, hello. Can you hear?
Hey,
okay, thank you. And how you doing this evening and what have you? My name is Shabaka Sankori, and I'm the executive producer of Ernst & Hand. And with this here being a playoff coming up, you know, the Super Bowl, what I would like to see happen, man, is that for every black player, just before the game starts, take their uniforms and throw them out there on the 50-yard line, man. You know what I'm saying? And say, hey, you're not going to keep killing us. And then, you know, like what they did to Mr. Tyree Nichols, and then what they did to the brother out there in Los Angeles County in a place called Huntington Park, where this man was disabled. And they murdered him. You know what I mean? You know, that man was no threat. They said he had a knife or some crazy stuff like that, but what I'm saying is he wasn't no threat where they had to shoot this man.
Right.
So just like what happened with Tyrese Nichols, just like what happened with Rodney King, just like what happened with Jula Love, Breonna Taylor, Philando Castile, I mean, man, you know, the list is going on and on and on now. And they're trying to make a situation with Mr. Nichols' case, may he rest in peace. Well, these officers is black, so that ain't no racism. Oh, yeah, that is the worst form of racism. It's because just like what Malcolm X had said on the plantation system, you know, you had a Negro, slave-minded Negro talking about boss, we sick. Yes, they are. Mm-hmm. And not to mention the fact, all the information that we researched, because we did a story on Mr. Nichols about a week ago. And you can Google us at Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. We're on Blog Talk as well, too. And we're doing a show tomorrow that your brothers are more than welcome to call in, which will be at 4 p.m. in the Eastern time zone. And you could Google it. And, you know, and our phone number to call in is 516-418-5996. So what it
Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. It's a culling of what they're doing of black male. You see what I mean? You know, just like with Rodney King out there in Los Angeles, man, what's that, 1992?
Yes.
And, you know, as I mentioned, Breonna Taylor, Mr. Castillo, George Floyd, with
well,
the
you know,
dude,
sir,
too.
I had a flashback. When I saw the video.
Yes.
When I saw the video last week, I had a flashback of Rodney King.
Yeah.
And the reason why I had a flashback is because it was so similar to Rodney King. The only difference was there were white cops in Rodney King and these were black cops.
Yes, sir.
That's the only difference.
Yes, sir.
And we would never see black cops vamp on a white man like that. No, exactly. That's the key point.
Right. Yes, sir. That's the key point right there. And then to prove Brother's statement even more so, what about the brother man who was on the Minneapolis Police Department from Somalia that shot this white woman? And they gave that man, what, 10 to 15?
That's right. His ass is in jail doing time. Because his blue was going to save his black. Unfortunately,
yes, sir.
We don't get it. And until we do get it, we will see stuff like that. And I have a question to ask both of you
while you're on the air right now. If you're an 18, 19, 20-year-old, and you wanted to go in the police force, and you're African American, would you do that?
No.
No.
Right.
No. Okay. The reason why I
asked
this question is because of the Oakland PD.
What about them?
Mm-hmm.
Oakland PD has dropped the rate. They used to have 1,000 police officers in the city of Oakland. They are down to 720 right now, and they can't get people to sign up for Oakland PD.
Right.
We all know why.
Oh, I'll tell you why. I got a theory. First, let's have to understand. Yeah. Oakland was the birthplace of the Black Panther Party. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And then and them brothers used to go out there, man, putting their lives on the line, you know, ensuring the safety, you know, of our people, you see. And so then Reagan, who was the governor of California at the time, he had passed the Mumford Act out there where it's illegal for you to possess a firearm in the state of California, you see. And what it was at that time in history, man, is that they didn't want to see us, you know, being protective of ourselves, of our children, you know, of our community and stuff like that. And then they try to come up in these contemporary times about the theory or the illusion of inclusion. And then at the same token, what about a black police officer who will go out there and do this here, you know, to a white guy? You see what I'm saying? And then, you know, of course, you know what will happen to him. Then, of course, we ain't got to talk about the situation, you know, with Mr. Floyd that happened there in Minnesota, you know, a couple of years back. And then you get these opportunists out here like Al Sharpton and what have you, know, just out there grandstanding at our expense.
I got issues with Al Sharpton too because Al Sharpton is a police chaser. I think he's a police chaser. That's what I think he
Yeah.
I don't know if I can go that far. I don't know if I can go that far, but what I can say is that you've seen him enough where people are desensitized to what he may want to offer. And they may feel insincerity in the fact that he's there, just like the other guy, Krupp, the attorney. You know, he's giving you the vibe. He's an ambulance chaser. And every time someone's dead, it's like, here he is again. So I'm afraid the problem is cops are going to be cops, whether they're white or black. It's worse when they're black, and that's the issue.
Yes, sir.
The only thing that he said that made any sense was after everything black man has been through, all the stuff they've been through, five black guys would just go ahead and dehumanize a black human being and kill them.
Right.
And now they're going to try to justify what they do with saying that they're innocent. I don't want to hear the bullshit or the explanation.
Right.
They're cold busted, and we'll see what happens.
Oh, yes, sir. And then also, too, man, another thing that's what's happening with us as the people, because a real good friend of mine who I spoke with, man, you know, for the first time in a couple of months, man, he was just telling me how sick he was, the stress level of it. And, you know, and that extra added pressure, you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like we as men got the post-traumatic syndrome, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I recently went to the doctor, you know, to get my general physical, right? So the doctor had asked me, you know, he says, okay, on a psychological point, not psychiatrist, you know, because the psychiatrist deals with the nuts, but the psychologist deals with the science of the mind. And he says, what is one of the main things, you know, that's concerning you? And I says, man, getting pulled over by the police, you know, man, I'm over 60 years old. You know what I'm saying? And then when Huey and Seal and them, you know, them was young men in their 20s, right? But the thing that I'm worried about is that I get pulled over and you get one of these young hotshot cops, you know, relatively black or white now, with that mindset, well, I'm the police and I can mess over you and stuff like that, but you fools are supposed to be out here to uphold, to serve and protect. Now, let's look at the man who then murdered in Huntington Park out there in L.A. County. Man, is a W amputee, man, so he had a knife. So what? You guys is wearing bulletproof vests. You got nightsticks, you got tasers. I mean, I could see if they just went on and whooped his ass, but to gun down that man like that, and a man with a W
the United States of America, I said this many times, the humanity of the United States. African American men are not in their minds a humanity. They don't care. You make money for me, and that's all you do. That's all we want you to do in America. Make money for us. And see, that's the mindset. We have to change that mindset.
The reason,
I know you might think I'm cynical about this, but the reason we have two black quarterbacks is because they know that people get pissed off. It's okay, we'll do this, cool people down. Right? You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Exactly.
It's a psychological warfare. From day one.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. And that's why they do so much.
Look, okay, I am a disabled black American.
Mm-hmm.
When I got to be 18, I was supposed to get a government attendant. If you're a white disabled American, they tell you this. They give you the money at 18 years old. Guess what? I ain't know about it until I was 21. That's
wow,
three
man.
Or 4 years I could have been getting money I didn't get. Because the government, once again, didn't want to tell you that. And most African-Americans and their people don't know the 18. And that's a mind game. That's a mind game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you keep doing it everywhere.
Yes, sir. And then, of course, as you know, brother, is that they do a lot each other. You see what I'm saying? And this is why I'm saying with this situation, you know, with Mr. Nichols, man, is that when they play the Super Bowl, man, what is that, next week, I think, every black player, man, at the last minute needs to walk out there on that 50-yard line with their street clothes on and take their uniforms and put them in a big pile because, you know what, you all ain't going to make this money today. You see? Because as we all know,
America, you tell people this too. America understands money. If you don't make their money, go back to 2015, 2016, African-Americans stopped watching the National Football League. Why? Because Colin Kaepernick and his dance on the NFL, people said, I ain't watching football. And the ratings got so low. They said, oh, we gotta do something here. Money.
Oh,
it's about M-O-N-E-Y.
Yes, sir. Exactly. Revenue. Cash. Tax dollars. Advertisement. Balance sheets. Profit and loss statement. You see what I'm saying? You know,
we need to do that again. We need to, okay, you want to do this? We ain't watching you.
Yeah. And then the cold part about it is, you see, but they dummy down our youth on education about that because, you know, what happens is in the average of high school or the average college, you know, well, man, get a good education so you can get a good job. But it ain't about let's go get a good education. Let's innovate some jobs. Let's acquire some land, you see. And then
that's
just
a,
like with the reparations issue. Yes, sir. Land, labor, capital, and risk management, the four factors of production, you know. And then the amount of revenue that comes off of professional sports, particularly in the playoff games. And don't get me wrong. I'm like the next brother. You know, I like sports. You know what I'm saying? It's human drama of athletic competition, but since we're the main ones who generate the revenue for it, like the Super Bowl, the World Series, NBA championship, all the black players in solidarity need to come out there, man, 10 minutes before the game starts, you know, at the last minute, and that's the only way it's going to work, because if they get out there and announce it 2 or 3 days later, then, of course, they can make modifications, you know, to keep their revenue. But it has to be done at the last minute. You see what I'm saying?
All right.
Sure. Yeah, I know it'd be nice if they did, but, you know, of course, I realize the fact that it ain't going to happen, but I'm just putting it out there.
All right. Well, thank you for coming to the call. I hope you come again. Come on anytime you want to. I'll bring you a ticket out of your show to, tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock, can you repeat what you said?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The name of my show is Shabbat Black Experience Enhanced, and we come on generally on Tuesday night, 6 p.m. in the Pacific time zone, 9 p.m. in the Eastern time zone, and our number to call in is 516-418-5996. You can follow us on Twitter at Shabaka Capital EXP. You can definitely go to our Facebook like page by the same name called Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. And we deal with the black experience, man, from the beginning of time to 10 minutes ago. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
I'll get to you tomorrow. I'll email you when we get together, right?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, bro. All right.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
All right. Bye.
Uh-huh.
Michael, you're back.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
That's okay. No problem.
I'm sitting here looking for milk because I got a poor bowl of cereal behind this whole issue with this balloon. I swear to God, it's like looking at a live version of Johnny Quest.
That balloon thing is weird timing. Because number one, it's Super Bowl time. Number two, our Secretary of State is going to China. He's in Korea right now.
He's not going now.
No Korea right now.
He's not going to China now.
He declined the Chinese invitation. There's something else going on. Behind this.
If you saw the movie Black Friday, you know for a fact that nothing's going to be happening because a dirigible was used in the potential nuclear threat in the movie. They use a weather balloon here, but the long and short of it is, this is like the episode of Johnny Quest where a robot spy was used to gather intel. I'm looking for Race Bannon as we speak. The long and short of it is, 60 years, this episode was predicted. 60 years ago, this was on TV, literally. And we thought it was so fascinating because the technology was like, are you kidding? But it's very feasible now, and it's very real.
Yeah.
And even though it seems impractical that it would be inspired by a cartoon, that's exactly what's happened.
I've heard it, my thing is, why did you shoot it down when it was in the Pacific Ocean? Why did you get it there? You see it coming, so why did you shoot it down then? It was already out there, so they could see it.
It may have been already out there, but somebody was definitely keeping an eye on it. They knew it was around. They let that thing come into airspace here for a reason. We don't know specifically what the reason is. We do know they shut it down. And what they shot down, they were hoping to get their hands on. So that might be the reason.
It's still up there.
No, it shut down.
Oh, when did you shoot down?
It was shot at, and apparently, I don't know if it's come down all the way yet or whatever, but it's been shot down. It's been shot down over South Carolina.
Yeah, it was like about an hour. I think it was about an hour ago, I believe.
An hour ago? I was in the air. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
So like I said, this is like a real live version of Johnny Quest. You know, they destroyed the robot spy. I'm waiting for Dr. Zine to say, you Eastern Infidels or you Western Infidels, I'll get your ass for this. But make no bones about it. 60 years, literally almost 60 years. That's the plot. And we saw it live in another color. In animation, and now it's in real life. The technology, I mean, it's like, it leaves me speechless sometimes.
Glad you can join the group.
Oh yeah, I got nothing else better to do. I've been Like a Bobby Knight situation.
Yep.
I can't believe it took 20 years for them to get this. That's amazing.
Hey, look how long Bobby Knight was in Indiana.
And his stuff
was out there on Front Street.
No
for
shit.
For the most part. So
and lauded for the most part by a lot of people. You know. Yes, he's different. How is he different? A bully's a bully.
And you know, it's really weird. I met this woman about 10 years ago. I didn't think anything about that.
Well, you know, it's something like that doesn't, you know, it's not something that's going to rear its head, you know, 24/7, 365. I'm sure there have been incidents over the years in regards to like practice and what have you, and maybe with media folk,
right?
And then also, she might have pissed off somebody in the administration, and this was sort of their way. Because see, it's never, you know, we always have to remember with stuff like this, it just doesn't happen in a vacuum. It's cause and effect. And it decided to, for whatever reason, come to fruition. What did you say? It was about a week ago, I guess you said, right?
Yeah, it was Tuesday, Wednesday,
middle of the week.
And we've seen instances like this in men's basketball and in women's basketball, maybe not as many in women's basketball. I remember I forget the name of the woman in LSU I guess there was a relationship thing going on with her and players and stuff. And actually, now, this is a different sport, but I guess it's on the same level. The longtime soccer coach for the UNC women, because there were allegations of sexual harassment and all that. Mm-hmm. Again, this is just me talking. I'm willing to bet you that, especially with women's sports, it's probably, I'm not going to say it's more prevalent, but I would think that it happens and we just don't know about it as much. One, because the media doesn't focus on women's sport. I mean, look how long the whole thing with the U.S. gymnastics lasted before they finally pulled that guy.
I agree wholeheartedly.
I'm going to tell you guys that Got me where my sister in high school back in the 70s. My sister told me back in 1972, 71, somewhere never played them. I was going to high school. I said, what are you talking about? She said, yeah,
I'm not surprised. But see, again, I think because, and, you know, let's face it, men, you know, male sports, are given more play than
right.
female sports, and stuff like that is sort of allowed to, dare I say it, hide in the closet, so to speak, because you don't focus. Now, unless you're a person that's heavily involved in women's sports, or have a have a daughter or a sister or what have you that's involved in it and has had incidents, you're not real privy to it. It's
you had no clue. If my sister tell me, I would never know about it at all.
Oh sure. But see, again, a lot of look. The sexism that's involved in sports doesn't just happen inside and outside the locker room the way it's reported. I mean, I think I told you guys, I covered UConn women years ago when they used to play basically in front of friends and family in the absolute coldest place in North America, the old UConn field house. And when you realize how far they've come from that humble beginning to now, where they almost play more games at the XL Center than the men do. But again, it's it happens. It happens. I think, unfortunately, what happens all too much is that it gets a little more sensationalized now because we don't. It's put it this way. I hate to say it, but it's sort of like when something happens at an HBCU. The sad thing is the only time that they ever, in some instances, and we've talked about this a bunch of times, the only times where they will actually talk about HBCUs when something goes wrong. And also, sadly, with women's sports, the only time that you hear them actually talk, I mean, there are times when the only time they talk about the WNBA when there's a fight. And fundamentally, that's sort of wrong because there's a hell of a lot more to it than that. But unfortunately, because we have a media we have a sexist media because it's mainly, white men, and they already have their own, they already have in their own mind what women's sports is all about, and it will only take something quote unquote sensational like this for them to acknowledge. The thing with U.S. gymnastics is a perfect example. I mean, think of that guy was able to get away with that for like almost two, three decades.
The DeMarco Ryan's hiring in Texas. I have big emotions about this. And the reason is because the Houston Texas organization is a crappy organization. The Houston Texas organization, I don't trust them. I just don't trust them.
I don't blame you.
After what they did, to Lovie Smith and the guy before him, I said, how can you trust the organization that does that? This is...
Well,
quarterback with Deshaun Watson, when he played it, I don't trust him.
I will say what I said before in the sense of they have already contractually made more of a commitment to him than they did the other two guys combined. I'm not justifying it, mind you, but I'm just saying it's obvious that you could say either them or the Colts are the two worst organizations professional football, if not professional? I think Houston's a little worse. I mean, you know, let's put it this way. The Cardinals have had a long – put it this way. The Cardinals have been doing it a little bit longer, I guess, because of the Bidwells and everything else. So, yeah, so maybe they may have that. But just – but you know, to be honest, when you think of Houston Texans history, other than beating the Cowboys on opening night, they don't really, a couple of playoff wins and what have you. I mean, you could make the argument that, you know, that either Watt or Watson are the two best players in there. I guess you got to throw Andre Johnson in there as well. But yeah, it's a sack of mess to say the least. But maybe because he's played there, maybe because he might be somewhat familiar with the culture, maybe this is a sign of change. They're probably, you know, barring the draft or what have you, they're probably not going to be that much better next year. But let's put it this way. If they fire him after one year for the third straight year, then I'm willing to see what happens in the long run. I mean, yes, on the surface, this doesn't look like a good thing for D'Amico for his first job. But unfortunately, sadly, historically, it's par for the course for most black coaches, whether it's football, baseball, or basketball, or what have you, because, you know, Frank Robinson's first job, Major League wide, was with lousy Cleveland Indians teams. Now, in basketball, it's a little bit different because in most instances, guys are taking over better franchises. And I think clearly of the four major leagues, you don't have as much craziness in the NBA as you do football and baseball. Now, we've seen some instances in basketball where it's gotten a little ridiculous, but I think for the most part, the NBA, you know, they you know, game recognizes game in a sense.
Right. And did you guys hear about what's going on in Tennessee? We said this many, many, many years ago about the Super Bowl being a holiday. Well, guess what? The state of Tennessee is going through their legislature right now and changing Columbus Day for Super Bowl Monday
as a legal holiday, and they're changing it up. They're not recognizing Columbus Day.
That's crazy.
I'm not crazy about Columbus, but that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I see where Philly, Pennsylvania, or Philadelphia, most importantly. They're going to start school 2 hours, I think 2 or 3 hours later on the day after the Super Bowl. I guess
folks couldn't survive the hangover.
I suppose. All those kids that drink on Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah,
you know.
Let's be real about this. We all know Monday morning is the worst. Monday after Super Bowl is the worst business day in America. Nobody goes to work that day. Nobody.
Yeah. Very few. Yeah, it's right up there with the day after Thanksgiving almost.
Yep.
Thanksgiving, you have Friday and Saturday recover.
Yeah, but I'm saying there's very few folks that, you know, the folks that do have to work that day after. It's sort of like the blue flu, like, you know, when officers sort of stick off on certain days to protest. But I mean, It's probably something that I'm surprised it still hasn't happened as of yet, to be quite honest. I'm still surprised that after all these years, Super Bowl Sunday in and of itself hasn't become somewhat of a legal. I mean, it's about as close to a legal holiday as you can get in many places, because, I mean, other than, like, say, Christmas, there's very few, you know, I mean, I've known instances when I've had to go out to maybe go grab something for Super Bowl Sunday, and it's almost, it feels like it's at Christmas because, well, I should say it's like Christmas because it's Sunday, it's still places, there's a lot of places it's where it's still, where things are still open. And also, I don't know about you guys, you know, we had a thing back in the day here in Connecticut called the Blue Laws.
That's right.
So many things, yeah. So many things were closed on Sundays. Now,
yeah.
You know, now
it's to do.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's like, you know, restaurants and car dealerships and store. I mean, now, I mean, it's, you know, there's only maybe two, and I can't even really say that. Usually, like, Christmas and, like, Thanksgiving are the 2 days where pretty much everybody's closed. But
right.
Not really, especially on Thanksgiving. A lot of these stores will be open at least up until noon or so because they know that there's folks that are going to try to get their last, you know, their last minute, you know, they're going to get their last minute stuff, you know, so there's always somebody's always, you know, bitching about the potato salad or the cranberry sauce or something, and they gotta hit up, you know, whatever their local place True. Is to catch up. But yeah, it's interesting. I guess the only surprise is just surprising by me. It, you know, they do have an NFL team, so I guess it makes sense.
I've been checking out WNBA and have you noticed that the New York Liberty, what they've been doing the past couple of weeks here?
Well, but they got Breanna Stewart. And then they also get the girl from Chicago too, the Vanderbilt.
And that qualifies as to be a super team. And guess what? It's New York. And here we go with this.
With that being said, I see that Candace Parker signed with Vegas. Now,
Vegas
is
another team that's going to become a super team.
Well, the Vegas, you got Asia Wilson, and they are the defending champs. So, you know, we'll see how it plays. Look, with this, you know, I don't have a problem with the quote-unquote super team. And again, it's nothing unique. You know, all you got to do is look at your history. There's been super teams back in the day. There's been super teams for whatever. But you know,
have you seen the lady from Purdue? Have you seen her play? This girl is unreal. Purdue, that woman in Purdue. Her name, what's her name? Smith.
I forget her name.
Real tall, skinny white girl from Purdue.
Mm-hmm. But she can
play. She averaged 30, over 30 points a game.
Mm-hmm. She could probably afford to have a couple extra cheeseburgers, I would think. I think you can get away with having that sort of a lift body in the colleges, but I think once you get to the pros, To a certain extent. Or at least do some time in the weight room in between in between a couple of fat burgers, one or the other.
No kidding.
No, this reminds me of the girl from Oregon. Oregon, years ago, the girl from Oregon. What's her name? Oregon. Yeah, the girl from Oregon.
Oh, I was thinking more of going real old school, Ann Donovan. But I seem to remember like Ann Donovan had a little bit more. She was sort of wiry, but it seemed as though she had more, a little bit more upper body strength than this lady here. Yeah. But hey, I know who you're talking about too. I'm. But, you know, don't ever get old, Gary. You forget names. So I know.
Kobe Bryant's red. Oh, God, I can't believe this.
Yeah. I don't remember her name either. I do remember her in general. But it's interesting. Even with that, you got another, the biggest matchup coming up, I guess it's tomorrow, because you got UConn and South Carolina meeting.
Yeah.
And they're already talking about.
Get out of the record streak. I want to see if they can continue it.
Another one, huh? Yeah.
I'm very proud of Dawn Stanley.
Well, it's the thing is that she didn't buy into the hype of, it's just going to be top heavy. What the good thing about women's hoops now is, now South Carolina and UConn are still elite, but there are other elite programs out there. And I think that's why the women's game is a lot more fun to watch now, because there's a little bit more of a parity. Yeah, you still have your top heavy teams, but it's more, to me it seems like there's more, there's more of a balance, it's more competitive on the whole, because you have a lot of these I guess you could say sort of mid-majors to a certain, like you see on the men's side, but I think you're starting to see some more of the mid-majors go out and get some big name recruits. But that's
a better balance, absolutely.
I mean, I like the women's game anyway. Now, again, because of where I live, we're going to be more cognizant of it. But yeah, I think it's fine. Look, there's still, to go back to what I was talking about in regard to the sexism, in regard to reporting of sports, you're still gonna have these, older white men that's gonna, whenever a team gets beat like 83-23, it's like, oh, this is terrible. They play their whole Chicken Little, the sky is falling, and this is why you shouldn't watch women's basketball. It gets old. It gets really old after a while.
Well, I'm gonna send you guys some Saluki gear. Saluki gear. Give me honorary SIU Salukis.
Just get it in. If you can get it in 4X, fine with me. I will never turn down free clothes.
guys, about the Kyrie Irving thing, what's saying?
I guess the whole experiment in Brooklyn has been a waste now, because he wants to get out of there, and don't think that whole thing of where they basically tried to have him apologize for everything from the JFK assassination to the marriage of Yoko and John didn't play a role in this.
Yeah, that's a big sign.
If I am an owner of a team, if I am a head coach, I don't want this guy anywhere near my team. Look, the guy is a great, he's a great player. He's an outstanding player. But he can mess you up in a team. He does it like this.
He's been, you know, again, clearly he's a talented player. I think that there's no doubt. He definitely, you know, what's the phrase? He runs to his own beat, so to speak. And I, you know, to me, it's not a terrible thing, but he really can't be surprised now that teams may not want to go out of their way to go after him because of all the other stuff. It's funny because in a sense, this is what the Nets wanted. You know, the Nets have been trying, you know, the Nets have been wanting to, they, you know, they look at them, they've been trying to become contenders for years. And it seems like they always come up short. And now basically it's going to be KD and just a few other guys now because, you know, Harden left.
I think KD's out of here.
Well,
I think he's already out of here. He's already going somewhere else.
Well, they got one.
I don't think they can win. With Milwaukee and Boston.
Well, the thing with me, and I know that if, the minute I say this, people are going to think, you know, I'm just a ridiculous Knicks fan. But what's their identity as a team? I'm not talking about the off the court stuff. Or what is their identity as a team?
I'm talking strictly
on the court.
Boston,
we know you got Tatum and Brown, arguably, you know, one of the best combos in the league. We know Milwaukee has got, you know, Giannis and his guys. Even teams like, say, Embiid, you know, as well. Everybody has sort of like a clear, and present identification. What is the one for the Nets?
Yeah.
That's been the thing. Even
there
with
there the hasn't been identity since ABA.
Well, no, I can't say that because remember they went to the finals 2 years in a row now. So let's you know, we got to be serious. But I'm just talking about now, as a basketball team, what is their identity? To me, that's been the thing. I mean, this has been more of a fantasy league mix as opposed to a basketball mix. Plus, you threw in the fact that you had the neophyte head coach there. Under Steve Nash, where they basically thought, "Oh, we can get any idiot to put this team together," and it hasn't proven to be. Everything that they've tried to do, and I'm not even going to talk about when the Russian guy owned the team. I'm just talking about within the last 4 or 5 years. What's been their identity? They haven't really established. You know, KD is about the only. You know, common thread in that, and even he's been on and off physical wise and stuff. But that's been the thing. I thought they had the makings of a good little team a few years ago, but again, they went into the whole. The whole thing was they wanted to get their big three with KD, Harden, and Irving, and. Number one, I think Did they even play more than 20, 25 games together?
Yeah, it did. It was 27 games.
I mean, barely. So say what you want about the Sixers process. The process, you know, did get them, did, you know, they were making progress and what have you, and then they sort of blew it up. But at least, again, they had an identity. They had a game plan. I think the Nets have been sort of making it up
I got the name. His name was me. This girl from Warren Creek, California, right in the Bay Area.
Oh, okay.
Sabrina,
okay.
Our nephew. I can't do anything.
She was the guard. She was the guard. She wasn't huge. She was a guard.
Yeah,
yeah.
She was
a guard. 5'11". Yeah, yeah. I mean, she was for women, that's tall for a woman for the women's league. But
I didn't know better because you're one three right here in the Bay Area. I didn't know better than that.
Like I said, Gareth, don't get old. You'll forget names and what have you. It happens. But just getting back to the Nets, have not had an identity, at least to me, for the last 4 or 5 years. And
yeah.
I think that's the biggest problem why they, you know, this. So in a sense, they're going to be starting all over again.
Again, yeah. I really believe that KD. I think KD's already gone.
Well, he has a long-term deal there, so he's going to have to, he's going to have to. Doesn't he have a no-trade clause too with all of that?
I think he's got a no trade.
So he's gonna have to make the move himself, I think, if he is truly. But see, again, it sort of goes back to the whole thing of their identity. It's like what's been their identity? That's again to me, even like a team like the Pelicans, it's basically Zion and the Imperials, for lack of a better word, but at least they have that rallying point and they have that little person where they know what they're trying to do. But I don't get the same thing with the Nets. The Nets are, it's literally like they're throwing something up against the wall and seeing if it will stick.
I think they made a mistake when they hired a veteran coach would say, look, you guys gotta stop playing around. Let's get serious about this.
And when
Kyrie did what he did during the pandemic year, I would say, no, you're not playing at all. Just go home.
Even just on a basketball level, I mean, whatever your views are, the vaccine, that's a two-hour debate by itself. But as a player, when you are literally when they're asking you to be one of the main guys, and you literally are just a part-time player, if you don't think that doesn't affect what they've done over the, you know, what they've done. Now, to me, that's not the only problem that they've had, but it's definitely part of it. And the fact that they sort of let him, you know, dictate that sort of speaks to more of the organization than anything else.
I think that was the downfall of the new Brooklyn. I keep calling New Jersey the Brooklyn Nets.
Hey, look, people are still calling the Colts the Baltimore Colts, and I'm sure you snuck in on Oakland Raiders over the last, you know, couple of years too as well.
Yes, man.
Of course. It's identity, you know. It's you know, we're all, you know, we all cool. I'm surprised that we haven't had more Cleveland Indian gaffes over the years.
Or either
the Washington traveling all stars and Motor Kings or whatever the hell they're calling themselves.
I think the Major League Baseball and the NFL told them do not call them by their own names.
Well, I'm just
thinking about it.
That being said, though, I'm sure if you listen to some Guardian broadcast this year, whether it be TV or, I'm sure there's been a couple of Indian references. I'd be willing to bet all three of our salaries on that.
Gentlemen. Tony Romo needs to be fired.
Now, have anybody seen this clip? Now, I have yet to see this
I've
clip.
When
did it happen, Gary?
In the second or third quarter, it did happen.
This was the AFC championship game, right? Okay, I'm on YouTube a bunch of times during the day. Maybe I just need to just put in Tony Romo and see if I can actually hear it myself.
Good question.
I was going through this morning. I said, "Oh, there it is! There it is!"
All right, so Gary, what exactly, set it up, what happened?
Okay, it was a screenplay.
Okay.
And one of the black players called it and ran down, and he slipped up and said the N-word, he stopped and missed it.
Okay.
And he kept going.
Did they freeze Tony? Did somebody in the booth say something?
No.
I remember watching that game. I don't remember them because, see, you know, usually, and, you know, ironically, CBS was the one that sort of ratted out, not ratted out, but I've always felt, you know, the infamous Janet Jackson breast thing. I've always felt, if CBS had never came on and said, you know, we apologize for, you know, what was shown on there, I think it would have, because again, I mean, that thing was more minuscule than the damn Zapruder tape. And
no shit.
you literally have to like go frame by frame to actually physically see it. Now, again, No one is trying to justify if he did say it, then to me he should be fired. But see, what they'll do is they'll probably do something like they did with Greenberg, with the whole Martin Luther King thing.
But nobody made a big thing about this. I'm like, wait a minute, this guy actually said it.
You and Reggie are the only guys that I have heard say talk about this.
Tony Romo said three niggas.
What did he say?
No, he said the N word, but he didn't follow through with it. He caught himself in the middle of a sentence.
Oh shit!
Interesting.
Well,
I'm gonna give myself a homework assignment after we're done here, and see if I can, you know, See if I can find it.
That makes two of us.
I can't believe that we're still dealing with this. It's like, come on, guys. Let me get a
No disrespect, Gab, but you can't be surprised anymore with the way stuff goes on now. I mean, you got a presidential candidate in Florida that's basically trying to say that Black history doesn't exist. There's a Super Bowl being played in a state that didn't want to recognize Dr. King. I mean, it's funny because you'll always have these folks or whatever. There's no racism in this country. Mm-hmm. And it was like,
yeah.
Okay. And it's just, I'm at the point where, when I was younger, I would always try to let folks understand where we were coming from as Black folks, but you can't save folks that don't want to be saved. And most importantly, you can't educate folks that literally and figuratively don't want to be educated or would rather just, deal with it through prayer or what have you. Now, again, there's nothing wrong with prayer, but there's a time and a place for prayer. And when someone is, when someone is trying to take you out, I'll just say it's a time and place for it. I'll just leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
I think America got to change its ways. I don't know how to...
Good luck waiting for that.
It's going to take a time, man.
Put it this way. We're still waiting.
Gary, you want a cause? I got a cause for you. Somebody should sue Subway for trying to imply that their sandwiches have meat in them. Every time I see a Subway commercial, I get the impression, damn, I want one of those bad boys. There's no meat in these motherfuckers. And if you do want meat, you got to pay for it.
There's more meat. There's more meat in the commercial than there is in the sandwich.
No shit.
Anybody
at Arby's?
You
know what?
It's been a while. It's funny because there's an Arby's not too far from me.
I've never had Arby's.
I never had Arby's either.
I think I ate there once. Now, is Arby's the old Roy Rogers or is that Hardee's?
I don't know.
Arby's.
I don't know. Arby's? I think Arby's is separate and distinct.
I loved Roy Rogers, but one of them, I forget which one, one of them bought them out. It was either Hardee's or Arby's, which, of course, For all you young, is America's roast beef? Yes, sir. That's what I'm looking for. one of the more brain dead commercials of all time. But there's so many of them now.
Yeah,
it's tough to.
True that.
Mm. No, I think I've eaten. I think I've eaten at Arby's once, and I ate chicken there. So I don't know. So I don't know if they're. So
but
I don't know
like,
if there's...
We're finally getting in Outburgers in America. We never had
an Outburgers
out here either.
Well, that's
because
Fat Burger... That's because Fat Burger wasn't having it.
Yeah. In Outburgers are good. I'll go with it in Outburger, no question.
Yeah,
Have you guys ever heard of oh God, is it Two Guys or Two
yeah,
Guys?
I've heard of Two Guys. Yes.
Now Two Guys is pretty good. I like Two Guys. Put it this way. I have to admit I'm more of a Wendy's guy when it comes to hamburgers. I like Wendy's. There's also, oh God, what is it? Have you guys ever heard of Wayback Burger?
Wayback Burger, wow.
Yeah, they're pretty good too. They're pretty good. Mm-hmm. Now, see, some of these things are national. Some of these things are regional, like, say, White Castle. Yeah. Like, they're like White Castle. Now, although White Castle, I guess, you know, now that they sell stuff at stores, I guess they're national now. But, you know, for the longest time. Yeah, New York and Jersey, when I grew up. But now you can get their stuff at the supermarket. So I guess they've somewhat gone national. Because even, like, there are folks, I know there are folks that are like, you know, have you ever ate at White Castle? Say, oh, yeah. Because there was like the one that's on that, like, you know, as you're going down 90, I think everybody's eating at that one where you're going down 95, going into the city. And it's literally off the highway.
I think that's exit 5 off of Sheldon Road.
Yeah. I remember, like, you know, when I was younger.
I know there's one there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we used to go to New York. Our one summer ritual as a family back in the day is that we would always go visit my mother's sister and her husband.
About White Castle, I could eat 3 cheeseburgers, get a shake and fries and a fish sandwich. It was just a little over $1. Now that was
quite a while ago.
But,
that was probably when everything was in black and white back then.
Shit.
It's been a while. There's several times on Facebook or what have you where you'll see somebody post an old McDonald's menu or an old Howard Johnson's menu, and I'm like, no wonder the old generation was fat as hell, because they could, you know, you had 5 bucks you could eat for a week.
No shit.
I mean, not that we don't have fat folks now, but I mean back then, I mean especially, I mean you could binge, you know, like you said, Mike, you could binge at most of those places.
No question.
I am gonna kill the Winnipeg Jets.
Why?
Have you seen their jersey?
Oh, I have not. Now, you're not talking about their throwbacks, are you?
No, they got a third. I am furious in the New York.
What does the jersey look like?
What does it look like?
Exactly like the New York Rangers. I said, get out of here.
Well, this way, the one to me that looks kind of ugly are the Sabres all white jerseys.
I like that.
You like that? To me, it looks like, you know, it's basically the Buffalo and the Michelin men, to be quite honest.
It looks like
a bunch of waiters doing their day job, man.
The Buffalo Michelin men.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. I guess because it's an off white or what, and see.
It's all white,
It's weird because, see, it's funny to me, and I don't know if you guys feel the same way. So many of these teams had classic jerseys, and they really don't need to have Well, to be fair, now the Bruins have always had a hint of black.
Right.
But the Maple Leafs got black now.
Yeah, the Maple Leafs. Well, look. Look, it's bad enough the Maple Leafs don't know how to even spell their own freaking name, you know, first of all. But see, now they've changed their leaf so many times over the years. You know, they've gone like, I guess, because, you know, to be quite honest, I don't know what their main jersey is anymore because they've
it's not the light or the blue or whatever,
but the style of the leaf, the actual style of the leaf has changed so much over the years. Because now when I started getting into hockey, their leaf was almost like sort of a block thing.
And
for the longest time, they never put the names on the back of their jerseys. I think that was just Carol Ballard being a cheap ass, but that's another story in and of itself. But even over the years, that actual leaf has changed. There was like a flowery version of it, and then there's one where it basically takes up the entire. They've changed variations of that leaf over the years. As a matter of fact.
The NHL
basically has an edict where everybody has to have a third jersey, and to me, it's now again, it's all marketing. Even like today with the All-Star Game jersey, they're basically the old Western Conference, Eastern Conference, but they had to bastardize it in some way because they were playing a game in Florida. So you have these, like, you know, off green, off pink, off whatever. But see, thankfully these jerseys are only going to be worn once. Now, I do think, like, when they come up with the jerseys for the Winter Classics, Those things are nice because it seems like there's a lot of the teams.
I like the old Rangers jersey. They went old school
with the Winter Classic jerseys for the most part. Because the Capitals have. Like, I think we all remember the original Capitals jersey, the traditional red, white, and blue with the Capitals and Washington. It was like, Capitals! Washington! In small letters, you know?
Right.
But, when they played the game, I guess it was at Nationalist Park, I forget, but they went back to see. I know, like, for the 75th anniversary, all the original six teams came up with, you know, they basically wore their original jerseys. You know, Boston had that one where they had that big obnoxious
bee in the middle. Yeah,
really.
There was one with the bear. And really. I've seen that blue Canadiens one. It's pretty ugly. See, I still wish they would go back to home whites, but apparently that's never going to happen again.
That ship sailed.
I would love to see the Islanders, for whatever reason now, the Islanders have made the Gordon Fisherman jerseys cool now because See, here's the thing, Gareth. Because they wear the blue at home, it's the blue ones. So the blue ones aren't quite as obnoxious. To me, the white ones were like fear to the heart of the opposition. Yeah. Some guy trying to steal your shrimp dinner from you
New Jersey black jersey, they need to be ashamed of.
Do they Do they have they worn a Kansas City Scout jersey as of yet?
Oh,
you know,
that's
a good question. I don't think I've ever seen it.
Yeah, because even the Avalanche have worn like Nordique jerseys, but
yeah,
they wear them under the colors of the Avalanche, and it works, and it works,
mm-hmm,
it works real nice. I'm surprised they haven't worn either a Kansas City Scout or a Colorado Rockies jersey.
Yeah,
because absolutely, they should. That's basically their you know,
right down to the white skate.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Sharks are basically the bastard child of the Golden Seals, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're in trouble. I mean, they might be the first one to move.
Attendance is down.
Yeah, because the team
stinks.
They're terrible.
Yeah, it happens. It happens. It's been.
This is the first real bad streak that started to happen, because it started about 2 years ago.
Is this worse than like their expansion years?
Yeah, I think so.
That's never good.
Their goaltending was bad to begin with. I think it's hard.
Well,
and their defense is like a sieve, man.
But you know what? It can't be any worse than what's going on with Vancouver, I would think. Seattle may actually sneak in the playoffs this year. Everything has been skewed since the Golden Knights. That threw everything off because they were, I mean, let alone make the playoff, but they were not supposed to get to the Stanley Cup final their first year.
The fact that they,
you know, not only were the best team in the Western Conference, they had the best record in the Western Conference. That's not
overall.
The
first 5 years,
right?
My question is, why do you put Oklahoma City and Nashville in the West? What's wrong with y'all?
Where do you put them? Do you put them in the Central Division? Oklahoma in the NHL though, is it?
Where they go?
NBA. My only guess, we all know that, you know, Christopher Columbus basically put together these conferences over the years. But with that being said, where you can see, there's basically teams in every time zone, unless you have four divisions. Now, I think with the NBA, it's three divisions. So unless you want to morph things into what you want to do like the NFL, where you basically have four team divisions, because Utah is like Mountain Time as well, aren't they? They're not truly in the West.
That's Mountain Time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, it's never, you know, it's never going to be,
Utah,
you know.
Utah, Denver, Dallas.
Yeah, you know, Utah, Denver, Dallas.
Well, Dallas is central side.
Yeah, okay, okay. So maybe like Utah, OKC, Denver, and I guess Indiana, since they're we'll see if the Indiana messes
no,
this
Indiana
up because they're we'll see, but you know that there's a part of Indiana upstate that is Eastern time zone, believe it or not. I don't know that.
There's an upper
part of Indiana that's in. I had to find this out through work because we deal with Indiana and see in certain parts of Indiana it's central, but there's also certain parts of. There's an upper part, I guess the part that's closer to, because they border what, Michigan, Minnesota,
It's weird
how you can have different time zones within the state.
I like the Central Division. The Central Division is all right. Milwaukee, Cleveland, Chicago.
Well, that was that. I mean, that's a
division.
That's okay. Those teams have basically been in the same divisions pretty much since they've been in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Eden, okay, too, with Boston, Philadelphia, Brooklyn, New York, and Toronto. That's okay, too. See, the Eden is pretty much okay. It's a
Western matchup. Yeah, we said to see again. With the NFL, we all know the whole, you know, gentleman's agreement with the Browns, it had to do with the merger because basically, Roseanne had to run on all fours to say, look, somebody's got to go to the AFC. And Miguel said, I'll go, but I got to play, you know, you've got to make sure that I'm playing. I'm in the same division with Pittsburgh.
The Northwest division is Denver, Minnesota, Portland, Utah, and Oklahoma City. Back in the old days, Portland was in the West. Now in the Northwest. But, you know, I don't want to say that either, but that's just the way it is. Utah and Denver are in the, you know, Minnesota, that's okay. But yeah, Oklahoma City, like the odd man out is in Oklahoma City.
Well, Portland is still in the Western Conference, so they got that part right.
Okay, all right.
I think so. Well,
I'm muffled.
I'm probably sitting on the thing. But yeah, Portland's always been Western Conference, from what I can gather.
Yeah, but now they're in the Northwest division now.
But they're still considered a Western Conference. They're still considered a Western Conference team, though. Am I correct?
Yeah.
I mean, look, you know, you'll drive yourself nuts trying to do. I mean, at least they got Phoenix out of the NFC East, for Christ's sakes.
I think the New Orleans Pelicans, we ain't doing it.
Remember
the old days when the New Orleans
Well, no. They're still in the same division. They're still in the same division.
Yeah, but they were in the West. Back in the old days, they were in the West.
Well, you didn't have as many divisions. Remember, for the longest time in the NFL, it was East, West, and Central. It was East, West, and Central. So, in their eyes, and especially the NFC Central, the NFC Central for the longest time was always Minnesota, Chicago, Detroit, and Green Bay.
That's the one.
That's probably the one division that has never really. I mean, you know, Tampa was in there for a hot minute, but for the most part, those four, that gang of four, the old black and blue division, they've never messed with that. They've never messed with it. Through expansion, through the merger, they kept the old black and blue division together. I mean, and even now, it's still those four. It's still that gang of four. They've never. Now the AFC Central has gone back and forth. Now, because see, originally it was, but again, that all had to do with the whole thing of Pittsburgh and Cleveland having to be in the same, because Modell was like, I'll make the move, but I'm taking Pittsburgh with me.
Exactly.
And he's like, okay. And then they threw in Cincinnati and Houston. Now Cincinnati made sense because he had Cincinnati and Cleveland play each other.
But Baltimore, what the hell are you doing Baltimore there for?
Well, remember, Baltimore were
the AFC East.
It was AFC East, and they did that deliberately so that they would play the Jets two times a year. I've always said that. That's why I always looked at it. But now when the Ravens came along, who are basically the old Browns, they basically kept, for lack of a better word, the Baltimore Browns in the same division.
True.
So in that vein, they were, you know, in that thing, and then you got to remember, when Baltimore became the Ravens, you already had the four divisions set up. It was only a three division set up when the Colts started it. So that's why they were in the East, because I think, but see, again, that was the concession, because Modell was like, I have to be in the same division with the Steelers. I'm not losing that Pittsburgh.
I would move Baltimore to the East.
And get rid of Miami
to the South.
But then you got to put a fourth team in that AFC North.
Indianapolis
is in the South. Indianapolis is in the South.
You'd have Buffalo, Indianapolis, New York Jets, and who?
The Patriots.
And New England.
Those are all traditional Eastern, you know, time zones. But see, you got Eastern time zone. But see, to be fair, that AFC North is all Eastern time zones as well. Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Baltimore, Cincinnati. Those are all four, you know, I think that's why they call them the North, because they're still Eastern time zone. Now, Indianapolis,
if you
to their have, credit.
If you have Buffalo, Baltimore, New England, and the Jets, Baltimore would have to travel. They travel. The Bengals, they travel. Pittsburgh, they travel. That makes sense.
Yeah. But also, you know, I think one of the reasons why they would get rid of that also is because, let's face it, Pittsburgh-Baltimore has become a huge rivalry over the years as well.
It's a big rivalry.
Look, a lot of this just has to do with the again, because you got, you know, Christopher Columbus and Vasco da Gama putting these divisions together, and they don't know where the hell they're going.
I remember when they moved Atlanta, and New Orleans back to the East.
Now, I don't know if you guys didn't they make a division basically for Atlanta? Wasn't that the old, like, Century Division or something like that?
That's exactly right.
Because remember, now, they had wanted to go to New Orleans years ago, but, you know, with the whole incident with the AFL, you know, kept them from going. But then eventually, excuse me, they wind up because Atlanta, New Orleans basically came in the same year. And they were NFL expansions. Because Cincinnati, because, you know, we forget, Cincinnati is an AFL expansion team. Miami was an AFL expansion team. So when they got to the NFL.
Seattle and Tampa
came in 76. Atlanta, New Orleans was 66. And I believe it was it 66 also for Cincinnati and Miami?
66
or 67. I forget which one.
I guess it's 72. I could be wrong.
Well, yeah, they were late. I want to say they were late.
That was before 72.
Oh, yeah. I think Miami and Cincinnati came in either in 66 or 67. I think they either came in either the same year as Atlanta and New Orleans or a year later. I forget.
64, 70, for sure.
Absolutely before 70. Oh, it's definitely absolutely before 70. Because the Braves were originally an NL East team. I take it back. Originally, they were an NL West team because that first National League Championship Series was the Mets and the Braves. And the Braves were the Western Division. They were the Western Division champions, and the Mets were the Eastern Division champions. But then at some point, they put them in the East, and then they took them, and they basically have been in the East since then because
The Reds
were in the West for the longest time as well. I mean, I think now because there's so many regional rivalries, and you know, it's funny that we're talking all of that because basically we're only a stone's throw away from spring training, and they basically have cut the division games down now. It's not 19 games anymore in your division.
Yeah,
it's 14.
Yeah. Everybody plays each other now.
But what they're doing is the majority of the games are going to come later in the year. They've actually added a couple more interleague games. And the premise was that they want to push the sport a little bit more because they're saying again, depending on who you listen to, because of the popularity of Ohtani, they're trying to get it so that the Angels are seen, and because apparently,
well, how about trading Ohtani to a major,
I mean, they are. I mean, to be fair, they are in a major market. They just suck. That's all. I mean, they're the you know they're They're worse in the sense where they're middle of the road, and you would rather either be a contender or just out and out suck. Now they don't out and out suck, but they're bad enough that they're not going to do anything. But they're good enough. But see, they have enough of a following where they, you know, where people want to see, you know, put it this way. They're trying to get it so that Ohtani is seen more because in their mind's eyes, he's a West Coast thing. They think that folks, that quote unquote true baseball fans, haven't really seen Ohtani as much. But again, if you believe all these rumors that they're talking about that they're going to cut loose either him and or Trout at the end of this year, it's like, but they're like, Why screw your loyal fans just because you can't get your act together? I never understood that. But,
well, the Angels are the poor man's eyes, whatever they are.
Yeah. It's funny because when they made the changeover, remember at one point it was the Los Angeles Angels at Anaheim, and then they just got rid of that Anaheim thing. Yeah. But they never, they had a few years where their attendance was equal to the Dodgers, but they never quite got over the – even after they got the Fox contract, they still never – the crazy thing with them, they may be more popular overseas than they are here in California.
I can tell you why they have a problem with the United States. It is so difficult to get to that ballpark in Anaheim. I'm going to tell you, I will never go there again.
It's terrible
to get there.
Do they at least have Mass
Transit? I thought the Amtrak station was right across from it. Is it that difficult?
That's the only way. The only good thing is about the Amtrak. If you drive, you can forget it.
I'm curious, Gary, how far are they from Disneyland?
Oh, at least about 30 minutes.
Wow, then all the more reason why they should be drumming. If nothing else, you would think that they would sort of get.
But it's so driving LA is awful.
Yeah, we know that. We know that. We definitely know that. There are people that are just coming home from the 88 World Series a couple of days ago. But they've been in that area for like forever.
40-50 years.
Yeah, it's really that bad to get to.
No, it's terrible. I never go to an Angel game.
Oh God, how sacrilegious is that?
I know. It's
wow. Now, compared to their other, compared to the Padres and the Giants. Now, I know the Giants are very accessible because they're damn near in downtown Frisco, right?
Yeah, they're one of the easiest places to get to.
Yeah, it's very easy on and off the highway.
San Diego is the new ballpark.
Uh-huh.
That's the best thing they ever did for that new ballpark.
Is it near public transportation?
Yeah, and also the old park was in the middle of nowhere, and you could not walk there. Nobody could walk to San Diego Stadium, the old ballpark. There's no way you can do that.
And you would think it's going on 50 years now, right? 60 years for them?
Yep.
And they, wow, that's weird.
Yep.
Oh, well. Well, hey, To me, Ohtani is going to be easier to trade because Trout is a little bit older now.
I need Trout too old now.
Well, it's funny. I saw a meme on Facebook, and they had showed Mike Trout at the NFC Championship game, and they said and the meme was, he's attended more Eagle playoff games than he's played. For the Angels, and that's a sad commentary on the Angels. But
you gotta remember the first year the Angels get in 1960. Do you remember that?
Well, Gary, I wasn't born. I would be there 2 years later. But I've read of it. They played. Didn't they play a handful of games at Dodger Stadium as well?
They also
played at the ballpark where Home Run Derby was taped, right?
Yeah,
that's weird. So Anaheim Stadium opened when? Like 63, 64? Dodger Stadium 62, right?
61.
62? Oh, 61? Oh, okay. I thought it was
61, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
They had to, although
they also, what helped them is that they also got to a couple of World Series there too. I think they still hold that. Don't they still hold that record for largest attendance in a World Series game, like 90,000?
I don't think anybody's gonna break that record.
Well, it would be, you know, given baseball's attendance and what have you. I mean, most of your new parks now are Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Even Yankee Stadium knocked off some seats to redo. I don't think Yankee Stadium seats.
No, I have never been to Yankee Stadium.
Oh, the new one. I haven't been to this one. I went to the house that Abe Beam built. I've been to that one a bunch of times, but I never went to the original one.
I went to the original one. Many times, the original one.
Yeah, I never went to the original Yankee Stadium. I went to the one after they opened it in 76. But no, I never went to the old.
I moved to California in 78, and I was at SIU going to school. But when they opened it, my last year of SIU, when they opened the new Yankee Stadium.
My uncle, who basically took me to my first ball game, he said, "I'll take you to a Met game, but you have to go to Yankee Stadium." I'm like, that's not a good deal, but. I was 12 years old at the time. How am I gonna haggle with a grown ass man? So I'm like, okay, I'll go. I mean, I recognize it for what it was.
My dad was a Yankee fan. We used to go at it.
Yeah.
It's many a day.
And basically, like they did with Citi Field. I mean, it's the current Yankee Stadium was basically built right around the same area as the old Yankee Stadium. What did they see? 45,000, 50,000 maybe?
But Tony, my question with the Yankees and Mets, why would you build a stadium the same time, the same year? I mean, what's wrong with y'all?
They opened the same year. Excuse me. I can't speak for the Yankees, but I know with the Mets, Citi Field is basically the field that Walter O'Malley wanted back in the 50s. If Citi Field was physically built back in 56, 57, there probably is no New York Mets. There probably is no New York Mets.
Yep.
Because it literally writes down to the infrastructure. It's Ebbets Field. It's exactly what he wanted to see. All Ebbets Field seated about 35,000-36,000. He wanted like 45,000-49,000. He felt like if he got something that was like 45,000-49,000, he could survive. And he could survive with the Giants. But see, what was always so funny to me was that, you know, the Giants didn't draw very well.
No.
And see, the other nasty little secret that they won't tell you is that their crowds got blacker as well.
Yeah.
That's the other nasty thing that they don't tell you about that led to him wanting to leave Brooklyn.
When they moved out here, the Giants, were accepted out here. They were not accepted. People were San Francisco CEOs at Oakland Oaks. Pacific Coast ruled the Bay Area.
When Willie Mays came there, they were like, he's no DiMaggio. They never, in those early years, they didn't appreciate Mays at all. I find it always ironic that, you know, the whole stipulation about the Dodgers going to California was that they had to bring another team with them.
They went to
the Cubs first. The Cubs said no. And then, for whatever reason, he just said, you know what, let me see what Stoneham wants. And Stoneham was like, where do I sign?
Let's go.
They were ready because, you know, by that time, the Giants had become, you know, they weren't terrible, but they weren't drawing. They weren't drawing at all. And that they were the main. They were the main.
It really hurt because people rather go see the Negro League than go see the major league.
Well, it was like that in Washington because between the Braves and the Baltimore Elite Giants, they tore the Senators a new butthole because they were 10 times better than them.
They were awful.
Yeah, you know, first in war, first in peace, last in American League.
Last in American League. All right, gentlemen, thank you for the great conversation today.
Wow. Wow, I didn't realize it had gotten so late. It's almost 6:45.
Yeah, it's overtime.
Hey, what's up, brother? Mike, keep us off the streets.
As I said, in the last couple of weeks, we've done 1,601 shows. And we're going to take some of those shows and retrace our steps in a murder mystery involving one Ray Krycar, who was a prosecutor. We're going to do some cold case work and see if we actually come up with some information that maybe we missed that will help this situation. So that's Sunday at 9 o'clock. We're also going to be showing, or rather broadcasting, rebroadcast of certain shows that will lead, hopefully, a roadmap to where we actually get to the point. And the guy will say, I would have got the way to get this one, not for you, that big kids. So we're going to battle.
All right, Dave, what you got going to do for the weekend?
I've been basically knee deep in the Caribbean series with a little basketball centered in between. I think all of us are looking forward to the Super Bowl for whatever, you know, whether, you know, whether it's just the brothers or just I'm kind of just want the NFL to get over. I'm at, you know, football wise, I'm actually looking more forward to see what the XFL and the USFL are going to be doing. Now, I guess the XFL starts literally a week after the Super. Well, the XFL starts in this month, and then the USFL starts in April.
Okay.
It could be the other way. It could be the other way around, but I know one of them starts in February, and the other one starts in April. So they won't be going up against each other head to head. And literally and figuratively, it will give folks who always, you know, that let's put it this way, that post Super Bowl letdown will be there. It won't be there because you're basically going to have two versions of the spring football. And I hope that they're allowed to play full seasons because that hasn't happened for neither one of them over the last couple of years. Although, no, I should get back. The XFL was the one that had to close down, unfortunately. But the USFL, they played, you know, it was pretty decent football, I thought, last year.
All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for another great overtime broadcast.
All right, guys.
See
you take care.
Same bad time.
Take care, citizens.
All right.
Take care.
What's it all about, Alfie? Is it just for the moment we live? What's it all about when you said it out, Alfie?
If you like that, stay tuned tomorrow at 4 o'clock Pacific. 7 in the East, where we'll be doing our annual Delmonics. The first song of the Graham Cove Music Box Hour. I'll get a couple of things before we get out of here. NCAA, Kansas beat K-State on Tuesday, 1978. Eagles of BC beat Clemson 54-54. Maryland dropped Indiana out of the top 25 with a 66-55 victory. The top five of the NCAA, Purdue, Tennessee, Houston, Alabama, and Arizona. CIAA, Livingston, Blue Bears, McLaughlin, University lost to Virginia Union. Shaw is at Bowie State. Lincoln is at Virginia State. Winston-Salem is at The Hogue. Dwight, Center is at Grambling. Center and Grambling go to the Alabama schools. Alabama A&M and Alabama State. Alcorn, St. O's, Arkansas, Fire Bluff, and Mississippi State. The Salukis will play the Missouri State Bears tomorrow for first place. And Belmont hosts Illinois State Redbirds 1-2 in the Missouri Valley. UCLA hosts Washington Schools. Arizona hosts Oregon schools in the Pac-12. Women, number one, South Carolina, 2, Stanford, 3, LSU, 4, Indiana, and 5, UConn. South Carolina and UConn will play this weekend. CIAA, Shaw is at Bowie State, Mayville at Jefferson Smith, Lincoln at Virginia State, When I was dating, Dan Bertrand was the wife of Dayton. And Cal plays Washington in Washington tonight. Last week was the conference finals. We all know we got a Super Bowl. Snow Bowl. And now we will have a back quarterback to win the bowl again. Both are number one seeds. Both have the identical records. We will see. Last week, McElroy wins the Dubai Classic. Lou Golfers. Mike Homa wins the Farmers Insurance Open in San Diego. WTA, the first major Djokovic wins. And then Australia Open, 22 Grand Slam, tying him with Federer and Nadal. The USA leads Uzbekistan in the Davis Cup. NASCAR season begins tomorrow with the Busch Light Classic in Los Angeles. That's it, folks. And just be careful out there and do the best you can each day. See you next week.
You're so funny.